With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is the Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, here with the 261st episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to title this episode the Falcons Draft Wrap-Up. We're going to go over the picks. We're going to look at the undrafted players. We're going to look at Georgia's 12 non-draftees and 4 non-draftees and 3 free agent signees. And Georgia Tech's 4 players, 2 draftees and 2 signees. And then we're going to go to our fifth section of the podcast this week. And we're going to call that the Julio Jones Watch. So, hey, y'all know all the draft and Julio kind of went together, so we got to deal with it today. But the first pick in the draft for the Atlanta Falcons was Kyle Pitts. He was selected 4th overall, the highest tight end ever selected in the 86 NFL drafts. They call it the 86 selection meeting. The highest was Riley Odoms, a tight end out of the University of Houston, who went to the Denver Broncos. So let's hear from the first round pick, Kyle Pitts.
To be the highest drafted tight end ever in the league on the 86th draft of the NFL.
I'm definitely humbled, and it's a dream come true to even get drafted. And to be top 5, that's something special. And the first tight end ever, I mean, I'm not putting it in words. I'm just baby with joy. I can't even put it in words how excited I am.
And what do you know about the Falcons? We had talked to you after your pro day, and how do you think you could fit in? And and your inline blocking. Those are some of the issues you talked about at your pro day.
I know it's a lot of vets and great minds on around that team. So. I mean, in that building. So to just learn from Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, really the list goes on, but to be able to come in and make an impact or something, I'm going to do that. Blocking-wise, I feel like I'll be ready. I'll be ready for when the day comes. And first day of camp, I'll be ready. I know Coach Smith does a great job of getting his tight ends fed, so I'm eager to see how he uses them.
That was Kyle Pitts in his opening press conference with the Atlanta media. This is a day later.
Good morning, Kyle. Just a couple things. Dear Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And that was the one that liked your bow tie, so I got mine on for you today. Hey, just from back in high school when you were playing quarterback, did any of that help you in the passing game when you moved over to receiver? I know you played some D-line, too.
I kind of didn't like playing quarterback, but I did kind of get a feel for it and realize how they think and how they read coverage. So it kind of helped me, realizing what I can do in certain coverage, like I said. So, to answer your question, yeah, it kind of helped me a lot, but I don't really remember it too much of it, in my quarterback days.
Right. Hey, and then another thing that, Coach Mullen talked to us about, he said early on, as I guess it would have been a freshman, you used to work out with the receivers, and that really helped your route running. Could you back that story up and tell us a little bit about it?
100%. It was late night, because a lot of the older guys were mentors to me, Van Jefferson, Tyree Creighton, and Josh Hammond. Fred Swain, those are the guys that, took me under the wing, and when I was playing receiver, they, we did a lot late night, a lot of nights at the indoor where we were just grinding, homework, and that's why that kind of helped me a lot. So, when I went back to tight end, I could use some of those moves, and it's like, you don't see tight end use a receiver move sometimes. So, they kind of gave me an edge, and I hooked it up, and I can
see. Thank you, Kyle.
All right. There was Kyle Pitts, the Falcons' number one draft pick. In the second round, the Falcons went to they went back a little bit, traded their pick to Denver, who drafted Javonte Williams. I was a little upset. That was a running back I thought, well, I wasn't set for them, but that was a good running back that would have fit and helped the offense immensely here. But they had to worry about this defense. They had to worry about the secondary, especially after letting all the safeties go. So in that second round, they dropped back, picked up an additional fourth round because they wanted to be up there, and ended up taking safety Richie Grant out of Central Florida. Richie Grant, I believe he was the second safety off the board. For the draft, we had him rated behind, I think he was our fifth safety. Trayvon Moehrig was one out of TCU. Jamar Johnson, Indiana, was second. Javon Holland out of Oregon was our third rated safety. And Richie was number four. He was the number four rated safety for the AJC in our preview. He tied for third with six interceptions in the FBS as a sophomore. He was a first-team All-American Athletic Conference after making 109 tackles over 13 starts. He continued to develop over his career. So Richie Grant went second. Third round, Jalen Mayfield, offensive guard tackle out of Michigan. Grand Rapids Central Catholic. Hey, the word is he has first-round talent. But his Zoom interviews were so whack that he dropped to the third. I don't know what happened on his Zoom interviews. He probably didn't like the question. I don't know. But anyway, they might have got a steal here with a first round guy in the third because of Zoom interviews. So we'll follow that one and dig a little bit on that one. But we hear he's got a higher ceiling at guard. But, I mean, you know, right tackle's been a problem with McGarry. And so the new regime, they don't have to, be tied to him because they drafted him. Can he beat out McGarry or does he slide to left guard? You know, they got two options to where to go with him. He'll be O-line number one out of this draft. We got an O-line number two coming up. So on day three, so that was boom, the first 2 days of the draft. And I remember the good old one-day drafts when it was just one Saturday. You got it all done. But now it's for TV. It's a big hit. They outdrew the Oscars by $2 million on the first night. Cleveland looked good with the Lake Erie in the background there. So it's a whole big thing now. But going to Vegas next year, that's going to be another show. For the fans to attend, the media, we need to stay here and work. But Pitts, Richie Grant, Jalen Mayfield. Day three, Darren Hall. I liked him, but I liked Kazee too, and they gave Kazee his number. So, and I saw one of his slot blitzes where he just blew the quarterback up, and, that's always a good thing for the old D-backs. Drew Dahlman, the center out of Stanford. He was the son of Chris Dahlman, a former lineman with the 49ers and assistant offensive line coach with the Falcons during the Jim Mora era. So he was with Alex Gibbs, and we didn't talk to the lineman back then. That was a stupid Alex Gibbs rule. I'm glad I didn't take hold, so we can talk to the lineman again. And then Traquan Graham, defensive end, Texas. Then Adite Kumbo Agundie, defensive end from Notre Dame. Fifth round, Avery Williams, cornerback, kickoff returner. Coach Arthur Smith said he might even play some offense. He kept saying everybody's versatile. Nobody has a position. This guy, he's a safety. Richie Garrett said he was a free safety. I think he got in trouble because they're like, oh, no. Coach Dean Pease doesn't call him a safety. He doesn't make him a strong or a free or a box. We just move him around as he fit. So, whatever, but we're going to call him a free safety since he said he was one. With Avery, so they look at him on offense. So that's got to be running back or receiver, because he wasn't that good of a cornerback on the report draft reports we have. And then the last guy, Frank Darby, the wide receiver from Arizona State. He was hyped coming out of Arizona State. They had N'Keal Harry the last couple years go to the Patriots in the first round, and then Brandon Ayuk go in the first round. So Darby might have been a steal. It was supposed to be his year out there in the Valley of the Sun, and you know, the pandemic and so forth, he didn't get to do his thing. So he's a deep ball guy. I think he fits in with where Olamide Zaccheaus was running those deep routes, and maybe with Gage in the slot, you know. So Frank Darby is in the building with the Atlanta Falcons. Sixth round pick out of Arizona State. Here is Frank Darby.
Outside of where you get the call today from the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, I was super excited, you know. I can't even explain, like, the emotion that was going through my body at the time. It was just like I was on the phone. They tell me, like, you want to be a Falcon? I'm like, yeah, I want to be a Falcon. I see I got the red on. Like, you know. Like, it was just something, you know. So, you know, it was just like, I was just excited, you know. I've been waiting all day, you know, just trying to sit here. You know, you hear from so many teams. My phone call rang one time before, and it wasn't even Atlanta. It was just a person just talking to me. I was just like, no, not now. Listen, you know. So I hung up on them, and then y'all called. And then Atlanta called. I said, yeah, yo, I've been waiting all day, yo. I'm like, thank you. But yeah, that's the emotions I was going through.
Okay, appreciate it. Hey, you know, after N'Keal and Brandon, you're the third one coming out of ASU. You know, how do you hope to, you know, continue to play in the, you know, make it in the league?
You know, and that's one thing, you know, me come behind them. Like, I felt like my last year, I couldn't show how much better I had gotten from 2019 season. So, me coming out of Atlanta, I just feel like, I probably was the best still ever. You know, I feel like I was the best still ever this draft because I got so much better. You know, I learned from N'Keal, learned from Ayuk, and you see what Ayuk doing. I just came here. So, me, I'm just going out there and show them that I can play. You know, I can play right away if y'all let me. I can play special teams. I can do everything, you know? And I'm just excited.
All right. That was Frank Darby. He's excited to be here. Had a good story there. Now, the undrafted players, the Falcons, the key ones are quarterback Felipe Franks and running backs Caleb Huntley and Tavion Hawkins out of Louisville. I like Huntley because he's a bigger back at 229. I think he could back up, you know, perfect world. He's good in pass protection. He could back up Mike Davis. A very productive back, 576 in carries, 2902 career yards. And if you stay up on Wednesday and watch the Mac, you've seen him do his thing. Tavion Hawkins out of Louisville, 5'9", 182. Didn't do much last year, but the year before ran for 1,500 yards. So, you know, he's productive, even though that's like looks like a third down back to me at 182. And we had Franks as our 10th rated quarterback. After playing in our top 10 position by position series, he was number 10. And we said after playing for Florida and losing his job after an ankle injury in 2019, he transferred to Arkansas as a graduate student. He started 9 games for the Razorbacks and completed 163 of 238 passes for 2,107 yards, 17 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. So he's a big guy, 6'6", 228. Decent arm. Had some decision-making issues at Florida, but definitely signed undrafted with the Falcons. Our 9th-rated quarterback was Jamie Newman. He was also undrafted. So his gamble to sit out didn't work out for him. But so for Georgia, Jamie went to the Eagles. So for Georgia, they had 9 players drafted and 3 free agent signings. And they said the 9 players drafted was a school record. in the 7th round and 12th round drafts. Y'all know the old draft used to go 17, you know, they used to go way past 12 and 17, 19. You know, we can go do a draft history deal one day and look up, you know, how the draft went from, you know, 30 rounds to 7. But anyway, here we go. Eric Stokes, cornerback, went the first round of Green Bay. Tyson Campbell, cornerback, Jacksonville in the second round. Azeez Ojulari, who's projected to be the top Bulldog taken, he was actually the third. He went to the Giants in the second round. And then they had a run on Bulldogs in the third. Monty Rice went to the Titans. Big Ben Cleveland, Tekoa's finest, went to the Ravens. Gotta get a big guy I loved. I could run a 4.85, man, and took his shirt off. So Big Ben will be in Green Bay, in Baltimore, trying to hold it down for Lamar and the fellas. And then Trey McKitty went to the Chargers at 3 in the third round. So trying to get a weapon for Justin Herbert. And then I thought, you know, I knew the Falcons had to take a safety. And I knew they can get him in this about right where I had LeCount coming to the Falcons at in the 5th, but he went to the Browns. After they took Grant, I'm pretty sure he was off the board for them. And some people, I had Trey Hill, as he was the number one center last year when we did the top 10 position by position. So coming into this season, he was supposed to be, you know, we were looking for him to do big things and dominate in the SEC and really improve his draft stock, kind of like the LSU center from 2 years ago, but he didn't do it. He went 6th to the Bengals. They need help, so he might can help them. Mark Webb, cornerback, went in the 7th round to the Chargers. So those are the 9 drafted Bulldogs. And then DJ Daniel, went cornerback, went to Jacksonville. Malik Herring, he's coming off for injury, went to Kansas City. And then Tyler Simmons was signed earlier, wide receiver to the Steelers. So that's how our guy Chip Towers is counting 12 Bulldogs getting their shot. Of course, Jamie Newman was the one that wasn't. And then I think in our draft series, I wrote this from Gil Brent, said, hey, yeah, he got down at Wake Forest. People wanted to see what he could do at Georgia against better competition. And then, you know, they don't know if somebody got in his ear and said, hey, you know, you don't want to mess up your draft status. They don't know, hey, he was losing the job to Mathis. So it was a lot of mystery around his pulling out, and the NFL teams weren't taking too kindly to some of these opt-outs, and his was one of the shadier ones 3.5 weeks before the season started. All right, but, you know, we don't know what his health situation is, his family situation, so you give him the benefit of the doubt, but it wasn't like people weren't talking about it. Now, Georgia Tech, the punter was so much fun to watch. He's going to the Steelers. Jalen Camp is going to the Jaguars in Jacksonville. And then David Curry, Buddy's son, the old Falcon fans know Buddy Curry. And he's been down around town doing a lot of community work, a lot of teaching at football camps and stuff by heads up tackling everything. But David is going to the Broncos. And then Jalen Askew, cornerback, is going to Miami. So that's pretty good haul, even though at Georgia Tech, I knew Harvin was going to get drafted, and good to see these other young men get some opportunities in the league. So, and then if you want to see the whole undrafted list, I mean, it's the undrafted list. It's on the AJC.com. We'll work on some bios here, just trying to wind down from the draft. Now, lastly, the Julio Jones watch. Y'all heard it. General manager saying, hey, we got to look at all our options. Situation's fluid. So all their options include, hey, if they would have renegotiated, they would have did it by now. If they were going to extend him, they would have done that by now. You don't want to extend the 32-year-old wide receiver. You know, did Julio take a pay cut? Nah, he's probably not going to want to do that. So what you're left with, you can't really cut him, but you can do a post-June 1 trade designation. And so, I don't know, we're in May now, so that's not that far away. and the salary cap situation would improve drastically. You would get roughly $16 million out of that. His cap hit would be 7 this year and then 15.3 next year when the cap goes up. But, yeah, that would definitely be an end of an era if they can't work this out to the matter of both sides. And, you know, when the coach, when the team's out talking openly like that, all options are available, that means one foot is pretty much out the door. So we'll keep track of that as we stay on the Julio watch. It's also been brought to our attention that all the Brotherhood signs at the facilities have been taken down. There's no more Brotherhood. That also, the number one issue for the new coaching staff coming in is they got to protect Matt Ryan. What else? That's what I've been preaching about all year. If they don't protect Matt Ryan, they're not going anywhere. And Arthur Smith kind of tipped that off here recently when he said, we're not going, first thing we're going to do, we're going to go as far as the offensive line goes. So they know it. That's why they drafted Mayfield and Dahlman. They're going to compete with Hennessy and Caleb McGarry indirectly or directly. Matt Ganoa is going to be in the mix. Josh Andrews is going to be in the mix. And they said, hey, they're going to take the best 5 players. So we need to look at them offensive linemen that were undrafted, too. Sometimes, you know, you can find one late. And they might have done. They might have been trying to do it. So, another issue was Julio not practicing. And so, they were like watching a film trying to go, well, where's Julio at? He's not practicing. Where's Julio at? He's not practicing. They didn't know about Uncle Smitty, Mike Smitty's, the 30 and over club. So, Julio's one of the last remnants of that. You know, when you got to be over 30 with Coach Smitty, you might didn't practice on Tuesday. Might didn't practice on Wednesday. You might just went on Thursday. Or you might have went on Wednesday and then on Thursday. Have a day off. But then Julio with his foot and everything, you know, they have been real careful with him throughout his career. But the new staff was like, hey, you know, we can't have time in the passing game if you're not practicing. So that's an issue. But what happened, this goes all the way back to Coach Smitty and then to Coach Mike Smitty and then coaxing Tony Gonzalez out of retirement, basically telling him he don't have to practice. And so, you know, Roddy saw that. When Roddy got older, you know, he started taking his days off. And then, you know, Julio comes in and he knows it. And, you know, he's like, I don't need to do nothing out here. I'll see y'all on Sundays. And so, you know, that doesn't really go over well with the with any coach really, or you know, the other players. But Coach Smith did a exception for Tony that needed to stop right there. But it's spread and it's still here, and you know, that's one of the things. So we'll see what happens here in the next couple of weeks with Julio. But I understand that the Julio not practicing, they didn't like that. But they didn't know nothing about the Smitty Club. And the Brotherhood signs are going down. And, hey, you got to protect Matt Ryan. So they do know that. So that's it for this episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We had Kyle Pitsbauer and some Frank Darby. We're going to be talking to some Falcon coaches later today. I think we got Justin Peel. Good to talk to him again. He was always gracious when he was here as a player for him tight end. And then we got Dwayne Ledford. I heard he was throwing stuff all around in the meeting rooms after they drafted linemen. It's what they say about that. He's D-led too, so it's going to be D-led and D-led on that call. And then we've got Coach Hoke. John Hoke, Brady Hoke. So I think they're brothers, but we'll get that together before we talk to him. So he's going to give us the, I want to know what they were looking for, a safety to where they, you know, they need more rangy safeties or more hidden safeties, because they got rid of all of Dan Quinn's safeties and he scooped them up and took them to Dallas. But I want to know what Deron Harmon and Eric Harris do that they like so much. And then, what's the plight of the cornerbacks? What's Isaiah Oliver and Kendall Sheffield? They're going to probably say, oh, they can play inside, outside, inside, outside. But they didn't look good outside last year, so maybe they both did. Well, I thought Oliver did good at nickel, but you could put the – I don't know if he can cover the little bitty fast guys, but they'll figure it out. So, yeah, we want to hear from him, the master plan for the secondary. So that's Justin Peel, the tight ends coach for Kyle Pitts. Then we got Dwayne Ledford, the O-line coach. Hey, he's got the number one job in the organization right now. It's to save Matt Ryan, save Private Ryan. Then number three, Hoke, secondary coach. What's the master plan? Y'all gave up 293.6 yards a game last year, last in the league. So he's got to have a plan to fix that, or they're going nowhere in 2021. So with that, we're out. Take care and have a great rest of the week.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have a different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.